Father, we thank you for being able to just gather together. Father, we thank you for the amazing story of your gospel. We thank you that, Father, that maybe even when we sing a song like we just sang and we're prideful and we think about the poor and powerless being someone else other than us, Father, in the sight of the holiness of you and the power of you and the majesty of you, Father, we're all poor and powerless. The beauty of the gospel and the beauty that we talk about today, as Caitlin read, is that somehow, God, in your great mercy and grace, you look at us and count us as Abraham, count us as righteous before you. Father, it really is just mind-blowing. Father, I'm sure others can echo the same this morning in their heart and their minds, but Father, it's mind-blowing for me because I know me. Father, I know my heart. I know how wicked it can be. I know the things Father, are really apart from your holiness that are in my life. But yet in the same breath, it's not about what I do or what I've done. Father, it's like the song that we sang to begin with. Your heart just won't stop coming after us, no matter what we do, no matter what we haven't done. Father, that's the goodness of the gospel. Is it's not about that. It's about grace and mercy and what's already been done through the cross. Today, my heart has been, through your Holy Spirit, that message will be loud and clear for all of us this morning, that no matter where we're at in our relationship with you, it's yet to begin or been going on for years, that today we just grasp the goodness of the gospel and grow closer in that intimacy. We love you, and we pray that you would just speak and have your way in this place this morning. We pray and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. You will go ahead and turn in your Bible. Words will be on the screen if you do not have one with it. But Galatians chapter 3. And really, really been excited about this. Caitlin, thank you for reading this morning. By the way, did y'all see how graceful she was? She just like entered in and just like came right to the stage. It was awesome. Thank you very much. Always enjoy hearing you pray as well. I know that young lady loves the Lord, so thank you for that. As we look at this scripture, just to kind of give everybody a quick recap, this study of Galatians is this letter written to the church of Galatia, one that Paul found necessary to write. This is a church that he's in love with, that has helped found, helped plant. Definitely has this love affection for them and for their good and for their concern. And you really see the shepherd's heart come out in this letter. Okay, he writes this letter because basically what he finds and hears are people who are taking this beautiful gospel of Jesus and they're adding things to it. They're adding this idea of circumcision and ways of the law and all of these things of really taking Jesus and adding plus some. It's really becoming this great burden for the church. And it's kind of as I just prayed that if we're not careful, those of us in today's church, it's real easy to get caught up in that too. We miss the goodness of the gospel, quite honestly, because of how good it is. Now, that may not make sense to you, but I want you just to stop and think about that for a second. The story is so good that a holy God would send his son to die for us. And that's maybe an old hat story to you, maybe one you've heard for years. But the story is so good that sometimes it has that feeling, if we're not careful, that it's too good to be true. That surely there's got to be something else I have to do, something else I have to do, or some certain way that I have to perform and add to for a holy God to ever look at me. And like Jesse's saying over us this morning, that his heart would want to come after me, surely there is something else I have to do. And I want to just challenge us this morning in the busyness of life and the hectic schedules that we all have, just to stop and breathe in the goodness of the gospel this morning. I think it's important that we continually preach the gospel to ourselves. That's all we have to offer others, and really that's the only hope that we have ourselves this morning. And so as we look at this section that we come into today is really just beginning kind of this testimonial section, if you will. And Paul is going to take a few things over the next few weeks as we look and really just give a testimony account, an eyewitness account of things that are happening that Paul is just teaching to the Galatians, teaching to them, listen, slow down, stop what you're doing, and just listen to the goodness of this story. Listen to the goodness of the gospel that comes off this letter that Paul is writing to the church. And so as he does this, Abraham is going to be the testimony that we see today. And really, this is just a beautiful, beautiful thing. I want to go on a preface and tell you that there's going to be a little journey this morning. There's going to be a lot of scripture, but there are some things that we've got to point out this morning that really ties into what these people that are hearing this would have known about Abraham, what they would have understood about Abraham, and how very important this is to us sitting here today in 2016 as it relates to the gospel in our life. All right? Before we do that, I want to do a quick poll. This is interactive time, all right? And so I just want to ask you a question. Who in here, this would be a yes, and this would be a no. You just sit here and stare at me, okay? Who in here likes spoiler alerts? This would be a TV show. Oh, see, Rebecca, you're where I'm at, I think. Okay, you read the spoiler alerts? I know Meredith does on certain things. We won't tell you what show it is, but she likes spoiler alerts and read all kind of juicy gossip and all that. So most would probably say no, right? You don't like spoiler alerts, or Rebecca kind of back there had jazz hands. Maybe that means some kind of sort of, right? Okay, I'm kind of the same way. It's like there's certain TV shows, and I'm like, I don't want to read this, but I do. You know, like it says, don't read here if you don't want to know. And I'm like, God, I got to know. In fact, there was a show last week where, I can't tell you, it might be a spoiler, like it might be on your DVR. But a kid gets hurt, and I'm like, do I want to know what all is going on with this and everything? But yeah, the spoiler alert. Well, I say that to say this. I'm going to give you a spoiler alert this morning. If you're just anti-spoiler alert and you have to earmuff it right now and don't want to hear that, that's fine. But I think this is an okay spoiler alert. I think this is something that really is really just essential to the story here. It's just to kind of take our love-hate relationship with spoiler alerts and really just go right here. This whole rest of this letter, this series is called Free. And it's called that for a reason. It's because we as humans, we try to put ourselves back in bondage. I want you to know this morning that if you are truly set free by the gospel, there's no need to go back to that old life. He set you free. And really, the rest of this letter, really just starting here, is about this big spiritual implication word. It's about justification. Okay? That's your spoiler alert this morning, is that the rest of this letter, it comes to this grand idea of justification. And here's where I want to just break it down as simple as I've ever heard. I had an old Sunday school teacher, and many of you know him. His name's Scott Howell, a friend of mine that still works with me. And Scott said this about justification, that really the idea of justification is standing before a holy God and breaking down that word justified as justified, never sinned. I want you to think about that. That may sound cheesy to you. It may seem old hat to some, but I want you to think about standing before a holy God in some way, in some form or some fashion, one day, and it being as if you had never sinned in your whole life. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to sign up for an extra dose of that. I want to take all of that that I can get, that me, a sinner like Keith Higgins, that if I was to put my heart on this screen and you saw the wickedness of my heart, could stand before a holy God and God look at me and say, it's just as if you had never, ever sinned. Anybody want some of that? That's praise the Lord stuff. I know Philip's not here this morning. God bless him. But that's praise the Lord stuff. Amen. That we would have this justification. That's a big deal, because here's the deal. Wayne Grudem says this when he speaks of God's holiness. Think about this. God is separated from sin. Separated. Has nothing to do with sin. Totally separated from sin. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a problem when it comes to me, because I am a sinner. We know that God is separated from sin because of this, that when he looked at his very son, who, by the way, the only sin that was ever on Jesus was your sin and my sin. He never sinned on his own. He took on our sin, right? Was put on him on the cross. We see the example in Scripture that when God, a holy God, sees the sin of Jesus, it says that he can't bear to look at his son. And Jesus, even in this perfect communion relationship he has with God, says, Father, why have you forsaken me? Where have you gone? He cannot have anything to do with sin. That is the holiness of God. And so Grudem says this about his holiness. He's separated from sin and devoted to seeking his own honor and glory. I don't know about you, but when I hear a story like that, sometimes that makes me think, God, that kind of sounds, if I could just be really transparent here and not just put on the mask and tell you the preachery thing to say, This morning, when I hear a statement like that, that God is separated from sin and seeking His own glory, I kind of go to the thought, how arrogant that sounds. That God, you're only thinking about yourself. Well, listen to this. Here's a newsflash. He's God, and He can do that. He created you with just a thought. He created this world, the beauty that you see, the trees that are outside this window, with just a thought. God is all about His glory, and He can get away with it because He's God. Amen? So God is about His glory. And so listen to this. In an idea of justification, the justified never sin, this holy God, the one that is separated from sin itself, listen to this. If you've missed this on the gospel, if you've missed this in the story of your already ongoing relationship with Jesus or one that is yet to begin, understand this morning. A holy God, one that cannot have anything to do with sin, if you know Him through the power of the gospel, has justified you. And what that means this morning is He has declared you righteous in His sight. Man, I don't know about that. That ought to have an amen. Let me try it one more time. That God, a holy God, has declared you, sinful you. Yeah, that sin you did this week, that sin this morning, the thing you didn't do that maybe you should have, declares you righteous in His sight. I want to tell you, that's amazing stuff. It's an amazing thing that really, thinking of this, even taking it to another level of amazing. What is another level of amazing? Amazingness? I don't know. But I want to take you to this. There is nothing you have to offer that can make this happen. Man, you want to boil down the goodness of the gospel, the grace and mercy of the gospel, is that somehow a holy God looks at you and declares you righteous, and there is absolutely nothing you can do to make that happen. That's grace. That's mercy. I mean, anybody like me this morning that would dare in church, of all places, to raise their hand and say, I'm a sinner. I know me. I know my heart. I know it's wicked. And there's nothing I can do. Rebecca, man, she just shot out of her hand right there, okay? We're sinners. But God somehow, in the goodness of His gospel, looks at us and says, righteous. Here's what that means. Not a scare tactic, but if today were the day. We don't like to think about it, but if today were the day that you get news, I'll put myself in this. If today you were to get news and say, man, God, Keith Aikens died today. I mean, the kids are crying. It's bad. Everybody's mourning. Like I mentioned it one second and the kid's crying. And you find out that a couple of days from now, my big old self is going to go in a box and you're going to have to pass by, or maybe not because you just don't even care. You're not going to even come by. But you're going to walk by my bald headed self in a box and say, man, there he is. Keith's dead. Try to tell him, lose some weight. Right? And it happens. I want you to know this, that I have 100% faith in God, that nothing on my account, nothing on my accord, but when I stand before Him, when I draw my last breath, He's going to look and say, righteous. That's good stuff this morning. It's good because really what freedom does is and the freedom in that is it takes the pressure off the performance mentality. I want to tell you, that man right there, Jesse, I've got a bromance with him, and I know that sounds really weird, and Jesse, I mean that in the least creepiest way possible that I can, but I've thought about last week, just on and on as I prepared this week, and what a beautiful job just talking about. There is nothing that we can do to earn God's love. There is nothing you can do to make Him love you any more than He does right now. And while some of us, that may just be this kind of just... compulsive and have to have a list about a list that is a list that tells us where our list is at. Me and Meredith can agree with that, and we're there. It maybe makes us uncomfortable in that moment, right? That there's nothing we can do, but for a lot, it may take the pressure off and say, wait a minute, if there's nothing I can do to earn it, there's nothing I can do to mess it up. Hello? That's good stuff. There is nothing I can do to make God look at me any less than He looks at me. When He looks at me, because of the blood of Christ, He looks at me as righteous. Here's the thing. No matter what I do from this point forward, no matter what I do in life, no matter how I mess it up, no matter how bad I just stink in life or just, I'm trying to, there's kids here and I had another word in my mind. I'm going to leave it at that. No matter how much I stink, I was about to put some Greek on you. I mean, how much I stink. There is nothing I can do to be claimed unrighteous. Because the blood of Christ covered me. That is the goodness of the gospel. And so this holy and blameless God, the big spoiler, is justification is not possible through works or anything you can conjure up. Nothing. Michael is not here this morning. Michael's sick, and I wanted to tell a quick story on him just in a thought of a few things. Michael, the other night, I've got a picture of him, Michael Stevens. Michael was dumpster diving the other night for pallets, all right? And it wasn't for some little, you know, just cheesy decoration. We went all out on that, right? It's free stuff, and we just put it up and strung lights on it. There's people that go and are involved in a ministry on Thursday nights where we go and we share a meal with homeless friends. And sometimes that's cooking meals, sometimes that's taking them out. And this week we went, Donald was there, it was an awesome time. Went out and we had a meal with them. And one of the big things for them is they build fires, you know, like to keep warm. And even on summer nights and stuff, when the wind is blowing and it gets cool, and they were out of pallets. And so me and Michael said, man, I got a truck, you know, let's go find some pallets. And we went and looked at this typical spot that had pallets that are, you know, sitting out there. They weren't there. And so we said, man, let's just drive around and look for pallets at some random place. And we find this place, and up on like this, platform, there's a bunch of pallets. But there's a security camera right on it. I'm like, dude, we don't want to go to jail for pallets, right? Like, that's a bad thing. You know, you can tell the cops, you know, yeah, it's ministry. That's why we were stealing, right? But Michael gets the idea there's a big dumpster, and he says, let's look in there. And there were tons of broken up pallets. And so he dumpster dives and all this stuff. I want to tell you, you can dumpster dive for as many things as you want to serve people. It doesn't matter. That doesn't impress God. It doesn't bring him to a place where he says, boy, I really love Michael more because he's okay diving in a dumpster for pallets. Right? As nice a thing as that was, it doesn't give Michael any added favor with God because of that. It doesn't matter if you see a little old lady struggling to get across that really needs a new, good, used set of tires for her walker, and she's trying to walk across the street, and you help her. It doesn't matter. It doesn't add anything to God's favor with you. It doesn't matter when an offering is passed here, and you say, man, I'm going to give everything I have. I'm going to give every single dollar. It doesn't matter. It doesn't add any extra favor that God would have on you. Being good enough. Being here in church, your religion, your heart, all of those things, it doesn't matter. It's not conditional. And really, that's what Paul is getting to here. As we get into the scripture, he is coming to a place where he talks about Abraham, and he's trying to tell the Galatian people, listen, would you just stop? Stop. Stop putting on the mask and trying to perform and stop trying to do all these things. Enough. You don't have to do that. You're justified. You are righteous. Right now, the way you are righteous. For some of you, that may be an easy trip to get on. You may say, I'm with you. I understand. For some, it may be a struggle this morning. You're saying, not me. You don't know what I've done. You don't know what I haven't done. Listen, I want to tell you this morning, just ease any of those tensions that you may have. The goodness of the gospel is this, that if you believe and repent and have faith in God and on God, you are justified, righteous. That's it. That's the goodness of the gospel this morning. Verse 6, as we look in chapter 3, a crucial, crucial statement to where we need to go in Scripture today. Listen to what it says about Abraham. He believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now, this is an old quote. This is back from the beginning of time, in the back of the front few pages of your Bible. In fact, in Genesis 15, you don't have to turn there. You can go back and look. But Abraham, this old man named Abraham, married to an old lady named Sarah, were promised to have children. And it was one of these things that Abraham, at this time in his life, and we know some of the story that goes with this, that Abraham at this, you know, old age of 100 years old is like having this talk with God. And God not only promises him a son, but listen to this. He's talking with Abraham in Genesis 15, and he tells them, really makes this covenant with him, a pretty important covenant, right? A covenant that we are sitting here and part of. And he sits there and he tells Abraham, he says, Abraham, I know it's been a struggle for y'all to have a child, but listen to me, you're going to have a son, and not only a son. Abraham, I want you to look into the sky, and I want you to see the stars. Must have been a really starry night. And some outdoor people that love the stars, you can picture it, right? This just black, backdrop of a sky and nothing but stars. None of these pollutants to get in the way. I mean, this is like good old fresh air, country stars. And he sees the stars. And listen to what God tells Abraham. He says, Abraham, if you could count them, that's how many descendants you'll have. I don't know about you, but from a place of someone struggling to have one child, to look at this blank canvas, this black backdrop, and see all these stars, and God to say, that's how many descendants you will have. But listen to what Abraham says. See if it doesn't sound familiar to where we're at today. In Genesis 15:6, you can go back and look at this. When God told Abraham this, it says this, and he believed the Lord, and he counted to him as righteousness. Takes us to today, and Paul is reminding people, listen, there was a covenant made to Abraham, and when he believed God, when God talked to him, and Abraham believed, that's when it was counted to him as righteousness. All right? Hang on to this today. This is going to be lengthy in this part of this, but I just feel like we cannot voyage into this scripture today without getting a little more context. So y'all okay reading some scripture this morning? Who's not going to say no to that at church? No, I want no scripture this morning, all right? Turn to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Keep your place there in Galatians and go back to Romans chapter 4. This is good stuff. It is the word of the Lord. It just sounded like I was supposed to say that. Everybody got their swords? Romans chapter 4. I'm going to start at verse 1, and I'm not going to tell you how far I'm going to read. Just follow along with me. It's the whole chapter. All right? I told you, didn't I? Spoiler alert. All right, here's what it says. Verse 1. By the way, Paul, right? It says, what then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. By the way, if you're boasting on anything before a holy God, just stop it. It really kind of makes you look petty and arrogant. There is nothing you can brag about before a holy God. You know, Jesse is like a modern day psalmist. I love him. I love you writing. And Jesse writes songs about government cheese and like collard greens. Like, I don't know how he makes that spiritual, but I like it. And he does it. And he does it well. But that doesn't impress God. Like, I'm sorry, you know that, right? Jesse did a great job talking about it. God is pleased with that, but it doesn't add favor, you know? It doesn't matter that today I might be halfway making sense with what God gave me. It doesn't matter. It doesn't add any favor. There's nothing to boast about before God. And he says this in verse 3, for what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteous. Again, this critical statement we see today. Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one whom God counts righteous apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. Is this a blessing then only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? We say that faith was counted to Abraham as righteousness. How then was it counted to him? Was it before or after he had been circumcised? It was not after, but before he was circumcised. He received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. The purpose was to make him the father of all who believed without being circumcised, so that righteousness would be counted to them as well, and are not merely circumcised, but also who walk in the footsteps of faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. For the promise to Abraham and his offspring that would be the heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression. That is why it depends on faith in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of God in whom he believed and who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that does not exist. In hope, he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations. As he had been told, so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith, and when he considered his own body, which was good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb, no distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is why faith was counted to him as righteousness. But the words, "it was counted to him," were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised him from the dead, Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Will you pray with me just a second? Father, I just want us to pray and just listen to you. I know that's a lot of scripture to take in at one time, but God, I believe you really have a word today. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray that you continue to speak, that, Father, you would have your way in this place. We pray and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Two things I want to point out from Romans 4 here. I want you to go back, first off, this week sometime and read that. That's a lot to take in one sitting, and to hear someone else read that. Go back and read it. But two things I want to point out. In verse 10 of Romans 4, it says that he was counted as righteous before or after circumcision. Paul asks the question. He stops in this letter writing to the Romans, and he says, was he counted as righteous before or after he was circumcised? In verse 11, it says that he received as a sign because he had already been justified by faith. He comes to a place in Abraham's life, and again, Paul here in this letter to the Galatians, bringing about Abraham, he's done this and talking about it in Romans, and he's saying here, was it because of some action he did? Was it before that or after that? And he points out a very, very specific and important point. It was before he was ever circumcised. It was nothing that Abraham did. He was justified by faith. And this morning you may say, well, that's great for Abraham. What does that have to do with me? I'm glad you asked. Verse 23 through 25 in Romans 4, he says, it's not just for Abraham's sake, but for ours as well. Paul says it's not just for his sake, but for ours as well. You see, God's order was specific here. Abraham did nothing special except have faith. That's it. Abraham came to a holy God when God says, I know you're struggling to have children. Not only will you have a son, but you're going to have nations after you as your descendants. And Abraham, in his weak, dead body, looks before a holy God and says this, I believe. I believe. And Scripture says because of that faith and that faith alone, nothing that he ran and did the dance and said, oh, by the way, God, I've got this crazy cool jam that's running in my head. It's called Father Abraham. You're really going to love it. And I'm going to have many sons. And they're going to be one of them. And so are they. So let's just pray. Right foot. And then they can even put the dance in there. And Southern Baptists are going to love it. That wasn't what he did. Right? Like, it wasn't something that he really just said, I'm going to just get circumcised right now. Because that's what it says that he believed in faith what God told him. And God said, that's what I'm talking about. That's the Greek. That's what God said. That's what I'm talking about. Justified. You're righteous. Not because of you, Abraham. Because you believe me. And some of you this morning, it may need to be that first initial step of belief where you say, God, I believe. All this stuff I'm hearing, I believe about the gospel. I believe you. I repent. I turn. I believe in you. And I want to find salvation. It may be that first step in that process of salvation. That may be today. And for others, it may be a deal of like, God, I need to believe you in this that you told me. You said that if I would come to you, you would take care of me for all eternity. And I'm having doubts and I'm having struggles, but I believe. I think if you do, it'll be counted to you as righteousness. So I challenge you, just as Abraham, believe on him. Believe in God, and it will be counted to you as righteousness. Let's go back to Galatians. Verse 7. It says, those of faith are sons of Abraham. I ask you the question this morning, do you have faith? Faith in a God that you can't see. Faith in a Jesus that you've heard and read about, but you cannot lay your eyes on. Do you have faith this morning? If you do, if you believe, then it will be counted to you as righteousness. This is why as a kid we would have sang that cheesy Father Abraham song. We are descendants of him. We are counted as sons and daughters of Abraham if we have faith like Abraham had faith. We're justified, we're righteous in the sight of God. The beauty of the gospel was even on display here to the Gentiles long before this whole idea of grace and Jesus came about in men's mind and they were able to see it. The beauty of the gospel, even back in Genesis, the first few pages of the Bible, of God saying, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. Not just the Jews, but those who will believe and have faith like you. Have faith, believe, and you'll be justified. Just as if you'd never sinned. Counted as righteous before a holy God. Again, I bring up what Jesse did such a great job last week. There is nothing you can do today to earn it. In fact, I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes for just a second. And I'm not going to sing this line to you, but I want you to think about the words that we're saying this morning. Talking about God, it says, your heart won't stop coming after me. Now, I know you sang that this morning, but I want you just to stop and in the stillness and the quiet, think about this, that no matter what you've done, no matter what you will do, no matter what you haven't done or what you won't do, His heart won't stop coming after you. His heart will not stop coming after you. That's love, and that's a justification that we can't earn, and that's accounted as righteous before a holy God. How in the world other than grace and mercy? Amen? Think about that this morning. Let's continue on. It's paid. Believe in Him. It is paid. You do not have to do anything to add to God saying you're righteous. If you know Him, He looks at you as His Son, the blood of Him covering you. Verse 8. Foreseeing God would justify. That means, again, counted as righteous. In this, nations will be blessed. So much so that Abraham, looking back and seeing these stars and not being able to count them, God telling him, this will be your descendants because of your faith in me. Verse 9 possibly speaks of you. Possibly. Those who are of faith. I want to ask a real serious question this morning, just in closing. I want to do it in this way. This morning, I believe there's either one of two people in here this morning. It said those of faith in verse 9. Those who are of faith. And so I want just to focus in and just for a second hear the Holy Spirit ask these questions, not me. This morning, right now in your life, not how it was back then, not maybe when you first came to know the Lord, right now in this moment, are you of works or are you of faith? I want you to know, and I want to be real clear this morning, if you have a genuine relationship with the Lord, it is my belief from Scripture that there is nothing that can separate you from that. It's not a scare tactic. I don't do that. I don't think God does that. This is a moment right here in your life that can really bring about freedom. I've said it before, but this is the kind of freedom that would make you, as William Wallace, as Mel Gibson in Braveheart, shout it to the mountains. Freedom! Right? All except the part of being killed in that moment. We hope that doesn't happen. Right? Spoiler alert, if you haven't seen Braveheart, it's a shocker. It's a story of William Wallace. I am William Wallace. Actually, I'm not. I'm Keaton. This is a good movie. But are you at a point right now, really, where it could offer freedom? It could offer genuine freedom on this, of you not having to live your life in fear of, boy, I just got to provide enough. I just got to do enough. I just got to. And really, all you want to do at that point is bang your head against the wall and find some kind of strong drink because you just can't live life that way. It just won't work. And so this morning, I asked that again. Are you a person of works or of faith? And really, here's the two options of that. If you are a person of works, first off, that has never met Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you are a person of works this morning, the only outcome of that is condemnation. And I don't say that to be mean. I say that from a heart of love. Come to Him this morning. Repent and believe. If you come to Him this morning as a person of faith, I want to challenge you and encourage you with this. No matter what you've done, no matter what you will do, no matter what you haven't done or what you won't do, if you stand before Him as a person of faith, as Abraham, justify. Man, that's good stuff. That's the gospel in a nutshell this morning. Do you stand before Him in works, or do you stand before Him in faith? I'm going to ask Jesse to come, if he will. I ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. We didn't plan this, so we're just going to trust that the Holy Spirit's in this. And just say this morning that the choice is yours. I'm going to ask Jesse just to sing that over us about his heart won't stop coming after us. And Jesse, you take that however you feel led to do it this morning. I just want to pray, and I'm going to let you know I'm going to be in the back if anyone wants to talk. Jamie, if you will, you can go back there with me as well in case any ladies would feel more comfortable speaking with you. I just want to ask this question as Jesse gets ready. Again, are you of faith or are you of works this morning? Man, beautiful day for freedom. It's a beautiful day for that. Will you pray with me this morning before we open this time? Father, you laid that on my heart to ask, are we people of works or are we people of faith? Really, the choice is ours. Father, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would speak and that in this, as Jesse sings, and we hear those words again, that your heart won't stop coming after us. Let those words sink in and us just be reminded that it doesn't matter what we do, what we will do, what we haven't done, or what we won't do. Doesn't matter. Your heart won't stop coming after us. It won't quit. You love us that much. That's the grace and mercy. That's the beauty of the gospel. That's where freedom happens, to know that I don't have to do anything today to make you love me more. You can't love me any more than what you do right now. I want to say that again. As you think these words, his heart won't stop coming after me. It doesn't matter what you do, what you will do, what you won't do. Doesn't matter. He cannot love you any more than he does right now. Amen. That's an awesome feeling. Thank you, God, for that. Thank you for the goodness of your grace and your mercy. That is the gospel this morning. So my prayer is, if someone in here doesn't know you, that today would be the beginning of a beautiful relationship with you. If we know you and we're struggling even still with works and faith and performance and what I got to do, I got to do that, I got to do this, would you just set us free from that today? God, have your way and help us remember in the words of this beautiful song that you won't stop coming after us, that you love us that much, that we can be justified and righteous.